When the world is teaching how to be fruitful, they don't focus in this area. I hope you know that. No, they don't focus on these things. They don't at all. They focus on how to network. Some people are working somewhere and they are using the seat they are given to network for their own planned business later. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That is, they are working somewhere now. But you give the fellow a seat, assuming that, okay, you're a customer relation officer in a bank. You sit down there. And that is the place you are sharing out your flyer. Please, we have this MMM office down the road, if you come. And you think you are strategically located. And people will be preaching for the gospel to you that you use every opportunity. You use every opportunity. The place where you are right now. Listen, somebody asked a question earlier. What is the role of planning in the life of a Christian? Because I say something that you can never plan your future. It's not possible. Your long-term plans will not work. If they keep on working, you are not blessed. The people that are blessed, their long-term plans don't work. Things happen to them that they did not plan. That's the law of life. But that's a video of Peter Obi that we're watching. How did he become a governor? They wanted him to be governor. He said no. He traveled abroad. His professor said, go back home and go and help your country develop. That was how he accepted to be governor. He came, contested, and he got rigged out. And then the camp of those who rigged him out, there was quarrel. Eventually, he won in the court case and became governor. Before that time, he said, when they asked him, do you want to be a governor? He said, these were my words, over my dead body. From becoming a governor, became a minister, he's now in political circles. Nobody plans such things. So forget all of this, and you can't plan your future. You can't. The Mark Zuckerberg you are looking at today, 10 years ago, did not know he would be here today. He had no idea. So let's forget that thing. So people said that, somebody asked, can you plan? And this is always my answer. I said, no, you can't plan the future. You can't. It's not possible. You don't know when the Lord will come, and you don't know what the Lord has planned for when he will come. So what do we plan for? We plan for how to multiply his mina when it is in our hands. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That is, if I'm working somewhere now, I must be full, listen to this, I must be full of plans on how to make them succeed, not how to make my own business succeed later. You're not allowed to think about that business until you leave that their office. Fact, Christianity, that's what we're talking about. If you sabotage where you are working now, thinking you will leave there, you know, I'm going to prosper later, you are smoking, you are joking, you don't know what you are saying. I like one thing this man said, Fela Drotoye. Fela Drotoye said something once. He said, whatever you do regularly, you become very good at. When he said that thing, I understood. Let me just put it like that. When he said it, I understood it. He said, whatever you do as a habit, you become good at. Now, you may not realize it, but what you are doing daily is becoming your habit. That is why, you know, most civil servants can't run businesses. You know that. They can't. Because they take their... No, I tell people that if you're a civil servant and you retire, that gratuity they gave you, go and build a house. Don't invest it too. Don't start business. That's my personal advice to you. Don't start business with it. You say, Pastor Banky, why? But I need to be earning something. Let's be honest. The thing you have never done before in your life. And then you want to now use that habit. That I'm waiting for salary habit is not my father's business. To invest money. I didn't say all. I said what? Most. Most of them say, my advice to you, buy land, build 2 flats, stay in one, and rent out the other one. Just leave it like that. The reason is that it's not when you've retired, you will now start learning habits that for 30 years you did not form. Sometimes, you know, you see these people that always wait for lifts between here and Oka. I'm back. Please, in case you are here, I don't know you. I'm just talking my own. Is it wrong to look for a lift? I just have this feeling that you don't understand the value of time. Yes. You may say it's cheaper for you, but you don't know the value of time. So when you retire, build a house with your gratuity. Because you don't know how to value time. You don't. Vladruto said, it is what you do regularly that you become good at. And if you are going to be successful later in what you are doing for yourself, you will be doing for yourself, you form the habit when you were doing it for somebody else. That's what I'm going to explain. That's when you form the habit. Listen, before God prospered Jacob, Jacob testified, Laban said it himself. He said, I divine that I have been blessed because of you. Jacob went and made Laban rich before they negotiated his wages. For 14 years, he was making Laban rich. He used every technology that the spirit of inheritance inside him could bring out. And Laban was the one that was enjoying it. It was Laban that was enjoying it. It's in this last 6 years that he now negotiated his own wages. He now said, okay, from now on. Because he said, Laban, listen. 14 years, all I've been doing is serving you because I want to marry wives. Now that I'm working for you, what will be my wages? I'm telling you. But listen to this. Until you have been able to help somebody else become richer, you can't help yourself become rich. No, you cannot. Isn't this sad? Look, life is a gift. It's not as if you know how to know. Actually, what is happening is that God says, all right, you have been faithful in that which belongs to somebody else. Now, I will give you your own. That's what I'm talking about today. The law of seed and harvest. The law of faithfulness. All of them combined. What I'm trying to emphasize? Christians, you can sow the right seeds. The harvest is not yours to determine. The only thing God has given you by which you can control what your life will be is the kind of seed that you are sowing. It's just the kind of seed you are sowing. So that's what, like I said earlier, that's another thing I should emphasize several times today. Let me just say it again in another way. That's why, you see, you must do something so that sowing these seeds we are talking about will not be burdensome. And you know how you do it? It's simple. Just make it a habit. Are you getting my point? Look, read my tract, Cheerful Giver. I keep on recommending it. The issue about being a cheerful giver is not just about money alone. It's not just about I'm giving money. It's about I am such that I'm concerned about my presence being a blessing to somebody. These are the seeds for greatness we are talking about. These are the seeds that will germinate later as fruit. You do it in such a manner that it's a habit, so you don't care. Really, you give expecting nothing in return. That is the law of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point here? So when I'm being a blessing to my boss, I'm not doing it because I want him to pay me well. I'm doing it because it has to be my character. I am a child of excellence. Okay, I'm working somewhere. My boss doesn't pay well. I'm not saying you should enjoy poor pay. I mean, you're not a glutton for punishment. But you should be able to endure. That's what the Bible says we should do. We do what? Endure hardship. What I want to explain is that it's not the fact that the pay is not good must never be able to take something away from you. That's the excellent spirit that is inside you. It must not be able to remove it. It mustn't. Excellent spirit is your habit. Have you noticed something? If the air in the place is not good, you try not to breathe. Can you stop breathing? Think about it. Passing near the refuse dump, where they are burning all the rubbish from a particular city. The air there normally smells very terrible. All right? And you have to walk 100 meters. Have you noticed that for the 100 meters, you don't breathe at all? You just stop breathing. You plug your nose. You don't breathe. Am I right? Thank you. You don't want to breathe, though. But what happens? The breath comes out of you. The air is bad. It smells bad. But you will breathe. Why? You are alive. The breath must come out of you. No matter how horrible the thing smells, you will try to hold the breath. What am I going to say? If the excellence of God is in you, there's no boss that can prevent it from coming out. That's what I mean. If the excellence of God is in you, nobody, let federal government or state government tell you, look, oh, we've not been able to pay salary for the last few months, and you're a teacher in a school, people will now sit down. And students say, I have a question. Shut up. Which kind of question? Go and ask the governor why he has not paid. Let me tell you something about adversity. Believe me, God comes to the place of adversity with his record book. He does. For those who shout like that, I say they don't deserve better. But there are those who will just sit down. The man is thinking, Kai, family, or no money. The student says, please, I have a question. Go ahead, ask. They ask the question, he gets up, he's tired. But he thinks to himself, what is this little boy's problem and my salary? So he gets up, he solves that problem and goes back home again. I'm not saying he will be happy. No, nobody's saying that you go there and say, hey, thank the Lord, they haven't paid salary. Amen. They have not paid salary. Amen. And just like you don't go to the place where the air is bad. You say, wow, I will still breathe whether the air is bad or not. No. You still cover your nose, you do, but then the breath keeps coming out and going back in and going out. You know what I'm trying to say? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. But because the excellence of God is in you, yes, things are not perfect, but you still do the best that you can under those circumstances. That is the seed that produces fruit later. Psalm 37. The whole world tries to deceive itself. People are planning their destiny. They are planning things about their lives. But the fact is that they are not planning it according to the word of God. And that's why we Christians must be careful that we don't follow the way of the world. All right, just from verse 1. He said, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not anxious, be not envious toward wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Now notice verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now I want you to notice that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Don't run up and down. Dwell in the land and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He said, he will bring forth, I'm in verse 6, he will bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your judgment as the noonday. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his own way. That's not following your own way. Because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Let me just stop here. Now, why have I read this? My emphasis is verse 3 there. It said, dwell a trust in the land, in the Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Now, the word cultivate tells me something here. I just like the word cultivate, because it has some agricultural tone to it. I hope you're getting my point here. Now, it's something somebody does deliberately as if he's planting a seed. And David was saying, if you do that, now remember something I said yesterday. Let me say it again. What will come out of your life, if you need anything, Bible says that you should ask the Lord for it. That's it. While you are cultivating faithfulness, make your request known to God. We're talking about the laws of fruitfulness. This is how believers become fruitful. It is not because they know how to do things. It is because whatever God gives them to do today, they pour faithfulness into it. They cultivate it. Then they leave their request with the Lord. And in due season, look at what David said. Verse 6. Okay, let's read the second part, the prayer part again. We read it earlier. I just want to emphasize it. Verses 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord. The word is delight. You must be happy. It will be in the Lord. He said he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him. Trust also in him. He will do it. Now, verse 6 is what I was trying to get to. When you dwell in the land and you cultivate faithfulness, in verse 6, it says, he will bring forth your righteousness as a light and your judgment as a noonday. That is, it is not what you are doing that's going to take you somewhere. I hope you're getting my point here. It is the Lord that is bringing forth by himself your righteousness as a light. And your judgment, he says, as a noonday sun. What am I trying to say? Listen to me. This is a Christian's key to fruitfulness. That's what we're discussing. Whatever he's doing, whatever she's doing today, you pour what into it? Faithfulness. That's the key to fruitfulness. Is to put faithfulness into the thing that you are doing today, even if it doesn't look big. Even if it looks like it belongs to somebody else. Let me drop this. It's important. I think maybe because it's a matter right now in Nigeria. Now, please, I'm not trying to campaign against MMM or FFF. or I Charity or anyone. I just want to explain something. Beware of quick gain. In fact, I think I have a message from the Spirit. Let me sit down for a while. Now, I'm serious. Tell it to your neighbor. Say, beware of quick gain. Let me tell you something about money and life. This is what I want to say is very important. Please bear it in mind. We are talking about the believer's key to fruitfulness. Quick gain is not just about the money. Everything in life carries a spirit. I've heard it again and again. People will say that, look, get in early and get out early. When a Christian says that, like this one, you know, is the season of pyramid schemes. Let me talk about it for a moment. I'm sure many of you are asking questions. Please let me answer the questions. First of all, let me start like this. It's not new. What did I say? I don't know how old you are, but the last wave in Nigeria, they go on all the time. They're always going on all the time, behind the back, you know. It's all, but the massive wave like you have right now, which you have almost 10 of them, MMM be the champion, is not new. The last I knew was around 1990, spreading to 91, 92. By the end of 92, it had crumbled. First of all, get this point. Net, everybody loses. The only people that gain are the organizers. Let's get that one clear. Why? It's a pyramid scheme. Pyramid schemes are like that. Closely related to pyramid schemes are what they call Ponzi schemes. They're not exactly the same, but they're very similar. All right? They are very, very similar. But let's not bother differentiating between the two now. Now, they always collapse. What did I say? Listen, how you know they always collapse is that they are never more than a few years old when you hear of them. My experience is 2 years max, they are all, not one, all of them will be gone. Let's push it. 3 years, but never more than 3 years. The more people talk about it, the closer they are to collapse. Yeah, the reason is this. Once you start talking about it, you start inciting a lot of people to enter into it. And the more people enter, the more people are needed to sustain it. So if you have 100 people inside there, they need only about 500 more people to join to sustain it. Not a problem. By the time you have 500, maybe another 2,005 to join it. But by the time you have 5 million, you now need 25 million to join to sustain it. By that time, the whole population of the country is inside. They are now waiting for who will join them. And there's no Cameroonian or Ghanaian or Togolese, are you getting my point, to join. It's only Nigerians. So it collapses. Then the man will pack his bag and move to another country. And the man who started MMM, that's what he has been doing. I don't know how... No, they are not foolish. They are greedy. Greed does not let people see facts. He started from Russia. They put him in prison, kicked him out. He's been to many countries. Chinese people, you know them. If you stay around, do that, they hang you. So he ran away. Chinese man not saying though. Oh, Nigeria, America... We'll put you in prison if you steal money. Chinese man hangs you. The penalty for government corruption there is death. Oh, firing squad. So brought around to South Africa. Those ones drove him. He now came to us, the most populous country in Africa. Everybody I've heard talk about it positively. They always do one thing. They show you those who have gained from it. It's like telling me arm robbery is good because the arm robber built a house. Are you stupid? I can take you to houses built by 419 men, 419 kingpins. I heard of those who, they take care of their mothers, educate their siblings, help people from stolen money. Does it make it right? Please, let's not talk like children. Tell him that this man, his business was down until he joined all these pyramid schemes and joined all of these ones. It is not who is gaining. It's who is losing in the process of somebody gaining. Anytime you do business, every party gains. That's genuine business. In genuine business, every party gains. You come to Bishop and say, please design a house and build it for me. In that process, you gain a house. He gains some money. His masons gain. His carpenters gain. Are you getting my point? You that's paying out the whole money, you are not losing. You are seeing the thing you are paying for rise. You get my point? You go to a doctor... I am sick. I have a swollen appendix. You want to remove it. So you pay him money. He gains money. You gain health. His nurses gain. The security man at the gate gains because you came. Everybody gains. Bad business is the one that's predicated upon somebody losing. Pyramid schemes are engineered to take from those at the bottom. You say, who's losing? The last set of people to enter. They always lose. It won't change now. That is the secret of the game. The last set of moguls will lose. Now, what's a mogul? A mogul is a man being defrauded who's feeling happy while he's being defrauded. That's who a mogul is. They are defrauding him and he's smiling. You know why? Because he thinks he's going to gain. You will never know who's the last set. And they always have hope that they won't be the last set. From time people say, go in early and get out early. There's a problem with that. I need to address it. A number of problems, not one problem. There are many problems. One, who gave you the timing? It's gamble. Two, the fact that you know that it's going to collapse, thereby trying to run out early, shows you're a sinner, you're a thief. For you to deliberately want to take advantage of somebody else's loss, you are a criminal. You are an ungodly person. Let me use the word so that you know what I'm talking about. The Bible says, beware of quick gain. This is scripture. I don't have time now to pull out the scriptures that my wife and I sat down one day and pulled out. Because it's not now. People have been doing it for a long time. And Solomon warned about it. Paul warned about it. And Jesus called it covetousness. And the Lord who we serve say, be aware, be on your guard against covetousness. Say, what are you going to gain? Whatever you gain, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Bear these facts in mind. Next point I want you to understand, money carries a spirit. The kind of spirit inside your money is decided by how you got it. That is why the thief usually doesn't live long. Why? When they take somebody's thing, they send out an evil against him. The curse, the Bible says, is in the house of the thief. When he's driving on the road, somebody's God will punish you, he's following him. It's a spirit. It walks around with him. It's punishing him everywhere. Unfortunately, it latches onto his children. That's why they get to school and join cults. They can't think about it. There's a spirit behind it pushing them into the cult. Money carries a spirit. That's why it's not every money you get involved in. Because what is the spirit behind it? Once it's a spirit of quick gain, a man is offering to double your money every 2 months, you should know. The first question is that what am I offering as services? Your job is to recruit the next generation of moguls. Your name is Jeroboam. Not only are you sinning, you are making other people sin. That's the sin of Jeroboam, the sin of Ahab. They not only sin by themselves, they now gather other people to sin with them. Like somebody said, you've been a Christian for 15 years. You never led anybody to Christ. Then you joined MMM for 2 months. You invited 8 people. Your hellfire is separate. The Lord is good. Listen, I'm not even being prophetic here. What I've said so far, well, not so far, some of them is common sense. It's something we all know. That it will collapse. The Lord didn't speak to me. Banky, tell my people. Everybody knows it will collapse. It doesn't need revelation. It always does. That's just the way it is. What I'm telling Christians, which they probably don't know, you can't get in early and get out early. Even if you get in early, make money and get out early. No. The spirit follows the money. It's a wasteful spirit. It's a spendthrift spirit. It will collect that money back. It always does. Remember that time, Osas was telling us in Makurdi. About where he used to work, I think in Olu. And their gate man used to play pool. Niger bet. Give me that one. Niger bet. Naira bet, which one? Bet Niger. Lotto, Shaw what? Shaw bet. Berry bet. Listen to me. Listen to what I want to say. In the name of Jesus, I forbid anybody listening to this to put half a penny into any one of these things.
Amen.
I forbid you. I forbid you. The one that loves quick gain, the Bible says, comes to ruin. Osa said that that's how their security man one day. He won like 200,000. After betting maybe like 200 naira. One ridiculous amount like that. So he bought television, generator. He bought DSTV. He bought things, yeah. Now get man, no. So the Reverend Father, because it's a Catholic institution, you know, some of these Reverend Fathers actually, the bishop needs to, you know, all these clergymen, whether they are Anglican, whether they are Pentecostals, or they still fall for the sins of the flesh. So the Reverend Father in charge of the premises saw that, oh boy. Let's assume the guy's name is Rafiu. Say, Rafiu, where did you see all of these things? Yeah, now bet Niger or Niger bet. Bet your head, whatever it is. Now Father said, welcome now. Come take money. Help me put my own. The man said, Father, it's not for people like you. It's for people like us. The father began to pursue the boy. The boy began to dodge. I'm not kidding. Now, this is part of the gist that you should get. You are laughing. I'm telling the truth though. Osa said by the time he was leaving, that guy didn't even have sandal. Oh, how can he have sandal? He didn't have anything. Television don't go, generator don't blow. It is the spirit of quick gain. Because once you can multiply 200 to 200,000, one evil spirit wakes you up at night and say, Rafiu, are you sleeping? He said, no, I'm awake now. Okay. If you bet 200 naira, you got 200,000. What will happen if you bet 100,000? Rafi will do calculation. Oh, more. That's not 10 million. The spirit said, that's what I said too. I didn't know you know mathematics. I thought you were a gate man. Rafi will go up next day, borrow money from his parents, borrow from everybody, telling them, just wait, something is about to happen. Which is where the spirit was going in the first place. Before he won that first one, he was betting 200 naira. After he won that first one, the guy stepped up to 10,000, 15,000, started borrowing from everybody. Before he knew what was happening, Rafi was worse than when he started. Many people now say that he should have been wise. Listen to me. Why was Michael Jackson not wise? Why was Prince not wise? Why was Whitney Houston not wise? It's because they were in an environment in which they were controlled by a kind of spirit. You can't be wise when spirits are controlling you. It is what controls you in life you should go after. You can't fight spiritual things. You can't. Somebody can enter into Hollywood and be wise. You can't be wise like that. Rafiu couldn't be wise. You know that his name was not Rafiu. I'm just adding Rafiu to it. At the end of the day, Rafiu was ruined. Every man who gets involved in betting, quick gain, and all of that, they always come to ruin. That was when he quoted for me that they found out that those who won even lottery, you know, lottery is slightly more benign. Okay? I'm not saying play lottery, I'm just going to say that it's not even as bad. Yet they found out abroad that majority of those who win a lottery commit suicide. That after 5 or 10 years, it says 70% have died. 70% of them will be dead because they won the lottery. It's a spirit. Money is an interesting spirit. Listen, money is so bad that when prophets see it, they start seeing visions that God did not send. If prophets can be seeing fake visions because of money, how much more ordinary Christian? Look, listen, if a prophet can prophesy wrongly when it's all money, don't blame the teacher that twists the scripture. Because teaching is not even as, you know, a prophet has to see. The teacher needs to think. So if a prophet can see a wrong thing because of money, the teacher can teach anything because of money. How much more? Ordinary church member. Money go run you mental. That was why Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Jesus never said, beware of the devil. Please, anybody comes to you and say, I turned my 5,000 to 500,000 within 6 months. Let me show you how. Tell him, where's your workshop? Yes, show me the work you do. Don't show me how you manipulated money. Which work did you do? You were hammering the wood so fast, it became 500,000. People were buying it. I will join you. But I know God didn't let it happen like that. Beware of what? Covetousness. I need to say, because this generation, the thing has seized them. They are getting confused. There is nothing like going early and come out early. When you are coming out early, all the evil spirits have packed with you. It's called seven spirits more wicked than himself. That's what happens. So, when you cast out poverty without the progress of God, they come back with seven spirits more wicked than themselves. When you were poor, the only problem was food. Abi? But now, food is still there. Then all the enmity of your neighbors don't join. You remember the 99 Club? You were sleeping well before, now you're not sleeping again. Insomnia has entered. Heart problem. Why? You joined monkey money madness. Please, please, please. Quick money ruins people. You were telling me about the man they wanted to kill. Bishop, where are you? Now, Bishop, they tell me about one man they wanted to kill him in New Haven here a few days ago. This quick money thing. The man now called his client, say, money has gone. Now they beat out. Good enough, they were close to police station. Now, armed police can't rescue the man. Please. We're talking about the law of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is a process. I like the way one of my friends said it. He said, seed time and harvest shall not cease. He said, listen to this. He said, this is how it is. Seed, time, and harvest. He broke it into three. That between the time you plant your seed and you reap your harvest, there is time. Yes. It's one of the things I wanted to talk about, but it's good enough. I got into it today. It was not part of my plan for today, but the Holy Spirit just brought it in. I said, let's talk about it. One of the things I wanted to talk about is the law of patience. The law of patience. Listen, you don't need it. That's why God hasn't given it to you. Young man said, I don't have a phone. You know, these days, I like phones. You know why I like phones? They have all types. Do you know, as of today, with the value of the dollar against the naira, you can still buy a good phone for 4,000. I know the thing I found about those 4,000 naira phones. When you charge them today, not in next week. When you charge it like this, you go to beg the battery, go down now, you ain't a witch. The battery said no. You know why? Because the technology of batteries is so heavy now. So those low-end phones, they don't consume power. 1 week, the phone is still making call, receiving text message. What else are you looking for? I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. We need to get it clear. Quick gain is unnecessary. It is a process of life that God is trying to take you through. He's not trying to give you money. So if you shortchange that process, if you break that flow, you will sign up for eternal permanent poverty because you can't withstand just having little for just 10 years. What kind of thing is this? These men who are doing, they don't love you at all. They are planning to send you into further poverty. A word is enough for the wise. And I have said 10. Are you getting my point? The Lord is good. It's good. Let me begin to round up for today, please. Let me round up my message. Okay? Good enough. I've gone into that. The law of patience. Remember, you sow your seed, you give it time. And there's something about patience. Patience simply means, patience does not mean like I'm waiting for God. I'm sitting there. When will God come? No. Patience means, okay, let me ask you a question. Let's think about it. Luke chapter 19 back. Don't open it. We know the story there. The people that the master gave minas. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. Do you think they would have wanted the master to come back quickly if they knew what was happening? Think about it for a moment. Before you answer me, think. Would they have wanted him to come back quickly?
No.
No. they would have wanted more time to multiply their minas. There's no need being in a hurry. Patience doesn't mean I'm sitting down waiting for God. It means I'm busy while he's delaying, in quotes. Let me say that again. Patience does not mean I'm sitting down waiting for God. It means I'm busy while he hasn't come back. That's why I use the word delaying in quotes. It means that, yes, I'm going somewhere great. The Lord has not opened that door. I don't get up every day looking and say, where's the door? Where's the door? Where's the door? No. Where he has placed me, I keep busy every time. I am constantly busy. I'm constantly busy. I'm constantly busy trying to take advantage of every moment I have. Because I know when he comes, I'm locked. Are you getting my point? If I had 5 minutes when he came back, that's all. I'm judged on that. So I'm busy, active. I'm busy, active. Trying to prove myself faithful. I'm busy, active. Trying to make sure. He said, blessed is the one who the master finds so doing. Not the one who has finished and is waiting. The principle of patience is called being busy with what he gave you. Before I used to say, how did Abraham wait for 25 years for a promise to be fulfilled? Abraham was not waiting, he was busy. In the process of waiting, when he left all of the Chaldeans, how many were they? While waiting, they captured Lot. He raised servants from his own household alone to go to war. You don't do that by just sitting down doing nothing. The law of patience. Patience does not mean I'm sitting down doing nothing. It means while he's tarrying, I'm busy multiplying minas. That is the law of patience. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Deliverance has come to you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen, time. Things may be delayed. Doesn't mean you are cursed. It just means the Lord is giving you more time to expand the number of minas so he can increase you. Did you hear what I said there?
Yes,
let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Therefore, begin to give him. Say, Father, I thank you. Thank you for deliverance by the word. Thank you for deliverance by the word. That's what you need. Thank you for deliverance by the word. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance by the word. Thank you because I know that you are working in my life. I'm a true worshiper. Remember we're talking about true worship. Say, Lord, I'm a true worshiper. I am a true worshiper. I worship in spirit. I worship in spirit. I do not have any confidence in the flesh. I worship in spirit. I have no confidence in the flesh. Say, Lord, I dedicate myself to you again. I will dwell in the land. I will cultivate faithfulness. Faithfulness is my portion. Faithfulness is my portion. Begin to declare. Say, Lord, I am dwelling in the land. I am cultivating faithfulness. I am dwelling in the land. I am cultivating faithfulness. I am dwelling in the land and I'm cultivating faithfulness. Faithfulness is my portion in the name of Jesus. I say, Lord, I declare that you will bring forth my righteousness as the morning. You will bring forth my judgment as the noonday sun. And I will wait for you. You will bring forth my righteousness as a light. My judgment as the noonday sun. Say in the name of Jesus, that is my face. My eyes are on you. My eyes are on you alone. Say, Lord, I renounce every trait of covetousness that's in my heart. That's the prayer. I renounce every trait of covetousness that's in my heart. Every form of greed. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I authorize you, my Father, to walk in my life, to go in and pull it out. To go in and pull it out. Everything that will grow and choke the effect of the word in my life, remove it in the name of Jesus. Oh, very important prayer. David said, search me, O Lord. David had to say, Lord, search me. Pray today again. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, go into my heart. Every form of greed, every form of covetousness, everything that's in my heart that will not allow your word to bring forth its full fruit in my life, uproot them in the name of Jesus. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Pray like David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. It's a very important prayer. Say, Lord, search me. Know my heart. Everything that is hurtful, every form of covetousness, every form of impatience, every form of unfaithfulness that is in my heart, be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Be uprooted. Father, uproot them in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, your word will work in my life. I will be fruitful. I will multiply. I will be fruitful and I will multiply. I will delight in your word. I will be like a tree firmly planted by rivers of water, by streams of water. I will yield my fruit in my own season. And in whatever I do, I will prosper. Because my delight is in you alone. Say, Lord, my delight is in you. Let's give him thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Let us worship and give him thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good, oh. I said the Lord is good. Please bless somebody on your left and your right. Tell the person it is well with you in the name of Jesus. So you are free in the name of Jesus. Poverty doesn't have lordship over you. Lack is not your friend. Say, God has delivered you in the name of Jesus. Fear is not your portion. Premature death is not your portion. Sickness is not your portion. Unfruitfulness is not your portion. Say, in Christ Jesus, you are fruitful. You are free. You are blessed. Goodness is your portion. Mercy is going with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. As you depart from here, goodness will go with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When you get to your house, please don't forget. Say, peace be upon this home. And the peace of God will dwell there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said the peace of God will dwell there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you are bound to every good work.
Amen.
Divine protection is your portion.
Amen.
Wherever you are staying, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now we're going to share the grace in fellowship. So 1, 2, 3, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is mine.
Please bless somebody on your left and on your right.